All right, so our agenda is here. Today on the agenda, we have issue 8, which is optimizing compact form, removing the MIME type parameter for the framed form, figuring out whether subject and IRI should be combined or if they're redundant, and then the discussion of whether or not we should drop base and vocab from the spec. Anything else that should be added to the agenda? Anything else that we should be discussing today? All right, let's get into it. So the first topic up is issue 8, which is optimizing compact form. Link to the issue is here. And this is something that Joe Presby was the first person to bring it up, but other people have kind of raised issues with the way we do compact form. So it turns out that different people believe that compact form means different things. And what we might end up doing with the compact form is allowing there to be certain flags that are passed in to the compact API call, the JSON-LD compact API call, that will compact the data in different ways. So for example, in the way we do it right now is that you pass in a JSON-LD document, and then you also pass in a context. I think if you don't pass in, if you don't pass in a context, it just uses the context that's in the JSON-LD document. But if you do pass in a context, it uses that context to try and compress the JSON-LD document as much as possible. So basically, you know, removing all references to data type, if there's a data type specified, removing, you know, references to IRI, if there's an, you know, IRI coercion specified. But people have said that they want something else. So Joe Presby specifically said that he thought if there's an IRI listed, that the IRI should be just converted into a text string, and the coercion for that property should be placed into the context. So this is where you start modifying the context based on what's in the kind of what's in the JSON-LD document. You can do the same thing for things like data type. If there's a certain property that has the same data type and it's kind of expanded all throughout the document, you could compress it and put it into the context. So the end result is the most compact representation that's possible. So I guess thoughts from everyone on whether or not this is something that we want to do?
So that would mean that the path context gets changed during compaction, right?
Yeah. So basically, it wouldn't necessarily be the context that's passed in, but you would take the context that's passed in as kind of this base context, and then you would modify it based on certain optimizations that you can think you could make, basically deterministic optimizations that you think you could make.
Okay.
Greg, you're in the queue.
Yeah, I do something like this already for my RDF serialization. And in general, this is something useful if you don't have a context to apply. It allows you to construct one, although sometimes it can take advantage of having a predefined set of prefixes to use to do that, which I happen to do in my particular context. But that might be done through the use of some form of a default context that we've, I think, has gone back on the fourth on the list for a little bit. So I do think it's, I find it useful myself to intuit patterns that can be created in the context if wherever it's ambiguous, if wherever there's a string used, if it's always used as a certain data type or IRI, then creating it as such definitely is worked out in my case.
Okay.
It can be difficult, though, particularly if you try to not create context items that you don't actually need. I've sort of tried to eliminate spurious things, and it, I can't, the use cases don't come to mind, but there's times where you're going through and you identify something that could be compacted and that you put something into the context, but when you actually serialize, it becomes redundant information. I don't see that there's any harm in that, but it means the tests, I guess, need to be somewhat forgiving as to what is there.
Okay. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I actually haven't spent so much time on this, looking at it from in the spec. One thought I get is that somehow automatic compactation in the spec might give the impression that the various kinds of data you can get, the data forms you use are more volatile than they often are, by which I mean that, well, how I do it is that I define a context, and doing things like Greg describes, and process data to kind of intuit a good context is a good thing. But once I have my context, this defines the shape of my data, and I will never change this once my, well, in my case, my API is stable, because the defined context defines the shape of the JSON data I expose. So I have to have stability in that. So this isn't really criticism about compactation in itself, but I'm not sure where in the order of importance it should be placed, if you know what I mean. I think that there are other things that may be more important to nail down and specify than this and an API. Also, probably.
Right. So, yeah, I agree that there might be some things that are more important to nail down. But I think we may have hit a point in this community group where we just need to get through all of the issues. So, in a way, it's all of the issues are as important as the other ones, because we need to clear them out in order to get to the next stage. So I think what we need to decide is whether or not we care about, you know, compaction optimization or not. Right now, it's fairly, as Marcus placed into the IRC channel, compaction is a fairly simple process. Right, it's just you take whatever context someone gives you, and you perform a compaction based on that context. So it's a fairly simple concept right now, and I think what we're talking about is taking that simple concept and adding a couple of flags that allow you to optimize the compaction process. So the other I guess question I have is that, you know, if we do allow items to be, you know, if we allow context to be optimized, do all of the processors need to optimize them in the same way? So if we run the compaction algorithm, are all processors allowed to compact in a different way? And I think there are good arguments for either way. One of the arguments is for compaction in whatever way the processor wants to do it, is that, you know, we allow some pretty hairy optimizations to be made by processors, right? And that could be a differentiation point in these processors. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter, you know, what the end result is, as long as it expands out into the same exact, the same thing that you expect it to, you know, kind of expand. As long as the triples that are generated from it are the same, it doesn't matter, right? As long as the information represented are the same, it doesn't matter. The counter argument to that is that you don't want You don't want different processors compacting in different ways because people might expect, you know, you might be consuming something, consuming and generating in PHP and consuming and generating in JavaScript, and both of those types of systems, you know, could be working in the same system, and therefore your JavaScript compaction is doing it differently than the PHP compaction, and that leads to issues. So I don't know if there's any thoughts on that, on whether or not we should always compact in the same way. And if we do, we're going to have to put that into the spec. Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, well, compaction is something of a special case. I think it's most people realize that if you really want to use JSON-LD properly, you're going to need to frame, or you're going to need to use some known producer which puts it out in a way that is designed for your end-user application. Compaction then becomes something that the use case is a fuzzy. I think it's there just to show me, to be able to try to provide a representation which is reasonably terse, as terse as the processor can make it. So I think that in terms of worrying about how it might vary between implementations is not particularly important. I would say that for conformance purposes, that the way that you test compaction is by either generating triples or normalizing the document and making sure they're the same thing. That would imply then that the default compaction could be nothing's done at all, which is, I think, just fine. We might want to specify something that's informative on doing compaction, but that would make compaction actually not normative except for the API calls themselves.
No, okay. So basically you're arguing that not all processors need to compact in the same way, just the API call needs to have the same signature.
Exactly.
Okay. I agree with that. Then Dave Lane, would compaction produce a different structure depending on the data itself? Trying to think of use cases where it might, that it might be weird from a end user standpoint.
I think in my case it would. If I had something where I had a node that was at the top level and the whole thing was listed as an array, let's say with a named subject and a blank subject, where I could express it using chaining, my processor would do the chaining.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Nicholas, you're on the phone.
Yeah, I think that I agree as well, if my mind is with me. I think that something like framing, or as I've said before, I anchor all JSON-LD representations in one specific subject and then sort of have externally defined, in my case specifically with the Sparkle constructs, exactly what data I need. And then for all but the most circular edge cases, it plays out very simple in a nested structure. And I think that that shape, which could be specified by frames or just by examples in documentation, along with sort of the exact context that my specific publishing uses, is enough to sort of get use out of JSON-LD. So that's probably why I'm less concerned about compactation and even API parts in the spec. I've been thinking about suggesting that they might be moved, but we've been talking about those things, and I haven't really had time to go through exactly what I want to be kept. but sort of I understand parts of it, but when you compare what the spec includes to sort of what the spec for Turtle includes, there are much more in JSON-LD beyond syntax right now.
Are you talking about the API document and normalization, or are you talking about the syntax document in and of itself?
Well, compactation, I'm not sure if, I mean, that's beyond
compaction
the core syntax.
Yeah, compaction, I think, is an API call, so I don't think
yeah.
we talk about it at all in the syntax document, which I think is the right place to draw the line on that. So compaction
yeah.
is just an API thing.
Yeah. Okay. Then my question is if we could sort of... right now our issues focus on both the API document and the syntax document, and I don't know if anybody else but me only need the syntax document, but I'm sort of only interested in that at this time, so I'd suggest to focus on that first.
I don't think we can do one without the other.
There's
a circular aspect.
Yeah, I think that, you know, changes that we make in the API could potentially impact the syntax document. And like I said before, it would be nice if there are some places where it's clean, where we can talk about the syntax document before the API document. But in this case, we may need to put a hint in the context to tell it how the compaction should happen, or how the compaction happens changes based on the syntaxes that we support. Unfortunately, I don't think that we can separate them quite as nicely as we have in the documents. Plus we need to get through all the issues anyway to get this to Rex. So, you know, we have a list of issues and we have to get through every single one of them before we can kind of move forward. Does that answer your question, Nicholas, or do you feel okay about that, or do you think we're still making a mistake by kind of jumbling all this stuff together?
I actually do, because, I mean, even though the syntax, of course, is driven by actual use, and that's important. I mean, I'm all for that. I don't like specs being designed before anybody used them. That's insane. The usage itself, and I mean, I think that the API exemplifies usage, I think that it could be kept separate, and I don't think, I mean, I'm not sure that the syntax and the API should go to standardization at the same time, compared to other things, like any syntax, JSON or XML or Turtle or any kind of RDF representation have syntaxes, but few of them have APIs. The one of them that has an API, which was published early, is XML, and that was pretty much a failure, the DOM. It was, to a certain extent, it was useful for everybody to have something, but today very few people use that API outside of browser context.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's another valid way to look at it. I think that... I'm sorry, Greg, you're on the queue.
Well, you had started speaking before I got on the queue, but
okay.
I will
okay,
jump
go
in.
Go ahead.
I think that the JSON-LD is a little different than a normal serialization, since it is... The API aspect is part and parcel of it, and I see it, particularly with framing, as being much more like Sparkle, which also had an API, and in fact would be somewhat useless if it didn't have an API at the same time. I think there's a danger if we separate the two in terms of, you know, publication time frames, is that, you know, we'll say we do syntax, then we keep working on API. I think it's inevitable, given the maturity level of the documents, mm-hmm. of the whole spec, that there would be more changes we want to make the syntax than make the API inconsistent or make us have to republish the syntax document anyway. So I think that the way that we need to go is through parallel publishing of these two specs, as well as normalization, which will be important, I think, as for a test suite.
Yeah, so I guess one approach that we could take is a hybrid of all these things. I think that the thing that makes me really nervous about publishing the syntax first and not really working too much on the API is that what happens if there is such a change, that we figure out that the API needs a syntax change in order to work cleanly. So maybe we can work on it up to a point where we're fairly sure that the API is pretty stable. The syntax is incredibly stable and the API is fairly stable, that we can just go ahead and move forward and then at that point push the syntax document independently of the other documents. So one thing is to give a kind of a counter argument, one thing we should absolutely not do is hold up the JSON-LD syntax because of the normalization algorithm, right? That's going to take an incredibly long time to discuss, I think, and even get implementations on. So I think at that point, you know, I can easily see drawing the line there. But when it comes to doing stuff like, you know, talking about compaction, optimization, I think we need to figure out things like that before we move the JSON-LD syntax forward to rec.
I just wonder how useful it will be in the context of RDF anyway if we don't have an RDF transformation procedure defined. The syntax itself really doesn't talk about that.
Yeah, but and are you saying that and because the API wouldn't be at rec yet, people would be kind of confused or not use it, or?
Well, it depends upon who the audience is and where a type of working group might take on JSON-LD. If it's an RDF type working group, then it would seem that publishing a syntax document that did not describe how you get RDF out of it would be a waste of time. If it was an apps type of working group that was really much more about, you know, the JSON format, then it wouldn't matter as much.
Nicholas.
Yeah, that I agree on. I'm a bit wary then about having the RDF conversion algorithm in the API document. I'd rather see that one in the syntax document, because the syntax is about representation of data, and the RDF conversion is articulating that, whereas the API document uses it uses API interface definitions and how to do programmatic representations, and I think that's going ahead of some things. I think that's going too far. I mean, a lot of people would like to implement JSON-LD without even looking at the interface definitions there, I think. A syntax document should be enough to be able to do stuff with it.
So I don't think that the syntax document is enough to do that. What the API document does is it outlines all the algorithms that are used, and it doesn't. You don't have to implement the API. But I mean, like the if I remember correctly, the API document outlines like the, you know, how you do the expansion algorithm, the compaction algorithm, and how you actually use the context to process the data, right? In very clear terms. but the reason I put myself on the queue is that, you know, I think that whichever group ends up publishing this stuff, that group has to have purview on publishing every single one of these documents. I think it's dangerous to give these documents to two different groups and then try and get them to kind of agree on things. Just operationally at W3C, things don't work as cleanly as we'd like when two groups are trying to coordinate on stuff. So I think that all three of these documents really just need to go through the same group in order to simplify it for kind of everyone involved. And I think we can stagger it, so we can push the JSON-LD syntax document, you know, a good 6 months before the API document goes forward. And I don't think that there's much of a problem with that. I think the problem comes up if we try and push the JSON-LD syntax document a good, you know, year and a half or 2 years before the API. That, I think, is when we get in trouble. And it's not like we're talking about this stuff hasn't been implemented. I mean, we have implementations for the API and normalization and, you know, the syntax. I think all we're doing right now is just kind of tweaking it before we put it out there. So I think we're okay. I'd be worrying a bit too much about this when we don't need to be. I think, you know, we can just focus on the issues and get through them and not be held up too greatly by that. Does that work for you, Nicholas, or are you still very concerned that we're kind of going off the rails by talking about the API stuff as well?
No, I agree that we should go on with them, but it might be colored by the fact that I don't look beyond the syntax. I don't need to use anything beyond the syntax, and I'm not sure if that's representative on a larger scale. So,
sure.
You know,
I mean, I know that we absolutely need the API for our company's use of JSON-LD.
Yeah, well, everybody needs some API, but anyway, we should go through the issues and discuss this further if on the list if we need to change something in the order, I think.
Okay. Greg, you're on the queue.
RDF conversion is a little bit different from the rest of the API. Certainly there is, or I don't know if you've defined an API point for extracting triples using the RDF algorithm. If not, we should. But right. I think a lot of the RDF algorithm, though, is separate. An API. You might have a processor without an API that still is expected to be able to extract triples out of a JSON document, or conversely, to serialize RDF into JSON-LD. Doesn't have anything to do with the API. I think Yvonne's process probably is another example of doing that. So it might just be that we need to sort of separate the RDF stuff and add something into the syntax document that clarifies the mapping from JSON-LD to RDF and back and forth without necessarily going into the bloody detail of the extraction algorithm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So maybe we should create a new issue for this and kind of discuss it as a kind of self-contained issue. Marcus, you're on the queue.
Sorry, but I mean, isn't the syntax document already quite clear about how to convert JSON-LD into RDF? I mean,
there's no algorithm.
We defined almost everything, and we are talking about triples, so that it should be straightforward to convert it. If you don't consider converting native JSON types to typed literals in RDF.
That's true, except we I mean, technically, when you get down to the W3C spec, there has to be something where you spell out the exact algorithm that an implementer can follow and do it. You can kind of divine that stuff from the syntax document right now, but we definitely don't outline the exact algorithm that people should follow.
There's two paragraphs.
You know, right.
In the syntax document, there's two paragraphs, and that's not enough to be able to really describe
it. The reason I'm asking is we tried really hard to remove RDF as much as possible from the syntax document a couple of months ago, so I don't think it's a good idea to bring it back in now and all the heavy algorithm stuff in the syntax document.
Yeah,
I agree that we shouldn't have the heavy algorithm stuff in there, definitely. But I think we do need to describe it.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm thinking maybe we need something that's informative. I mean, we have one section with two short paragraphs on using JSON-LD for RDF. We do have some markup examples which describe a relationship between Turtle and JSON-LD or some other formats. But I think without putting the whole algorithm in there, it maybe just needs a little bit more of an informative exposition on transforming or the relationship between JSON-LD and RDF. Anyway, I'll create an issue to describe that.
Yeah. I mean, my concern is that we as Marcus said, we went to a great amount of trouble to rip as much RDF language out of the syntax spec as we could, and even now when you go and you look at Mark Nottingham's post, his immediate, the thing that he jumped to was that, JSON-LD is if you want to express your data in RDF, and most of us don't need to do that, so it's too heavyweight to use it. I'm afraid that if we put more RDF language into the syntax spec, that it's just going to reinforce that thinking, when we don't really need to do that, right? And when even the informative mention of it, I don't see that much of a positive coming out with an informative mention of that, of RDF in the JSON-LD document, right? I think we had planned to put a dot two triples or a dot triples mechanism on the JSON-LD API. We just never got around to speccing it. It's a fairly easy, fairly simple, API call that we could spec. Anyway, I think we're deviating very, very largely from the issue that we were talking about, which was compaction. So let's go back to that. I think we had kind of consensus there. So the idea here is that we would allow JSON-LD APIs to do compaction in any way they saw fit. We would add a couple of flags to allow them to do compaction optimization, so like compressing IRIs by putting data type declarations up in the context and things like that. And I think that we could basically close this issue just with that, right? So the idea here is that we spec out the API so that it takes another argument, and that argument is a bunch of optimization parameters that we'll figure out at a later time. The first one that comes to mind is compacting, IRIs. The other one could be compacting data types that are all the same in the document. And then as far as how you do the compaction, we leave that up to the APIs. The APIs can do the compaction in whatever way they see fit. Does that seem like something that would work for everyone? Marcus, you're on the queue.
I think we shouldn't think too much about the different parameters that we add there. One would be enough, and that's optimize it or not. So either you do it the straight, simple way as it's defined right now, or the API is free to optimize it as it would like to optimize it.
So Joe had asked for being able to tweak which optimizations happen. I understand what you're saying. You're saying let's just have a flag that says optimize equals true. But I'm saying that people might not want to do optimization like that. They might want to pick and choose which optimizations are done. And I don't think it really hurts us to allow them to pick and choose which optimizations are done.
It doesn't harm us, but it prevents then people to implement more optimizations than we foresee.
I see. So you're saying it does harm in that it fences the types of optimizations that can be created. Maybe we can go back to Joe Presby and ask him if an optimized flag would be enough for him. The other thing that we could have is we could have a set of optimizations, and processors could make other optimizations that are not spec'd, aside from the ones that people specifically point out. So if someone says optimize IRIs, that doesn't mean that you can't also optimize lists if it's not spec'd out. Right. So
If we spec it out and we have those parameters, we would expect that we get the same output from different implementations. And if we allow other optimizations as well, then it's the same as having just one optimized parameter.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so then the proposal is that processors must implement the compaction API. The operation of compaction is not defined. But to enable compaction, you just optimize compaction. You just have an optimized flag that you set to true, and then the API will do whatever it can to optimize it as much as possible.
Yeah, that would be my proposal. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any opposition to that proposal? I can put it in here, and then we can kind of do a quick.
I have part of that proposal already in IRC.
Okay. Got it. Okay, so processors must implement the compaction API. Let's see, JSON LD. JSON LD processors must implement the compaction API. The operation for compaction is not defined.
I would say it is defined. Just if optimization is set to true, then it's not defined.
Okay, so the operation of compaction optimization is the algorithm for compaction optimization is not defined, but there is an optimize flag that can be set to true or false.
I think the other side of that is if you don't use the optimization flag, but you provide a context that we would have a normative spec for how compacting the document using the provided context. Did I understand your point, Marcus, correctly?
Yes, but that's what we do right now. So we just take that context and then compact the JSON-LD document based on that context.
Yeah, so the point being that for the proposal, it's not that the implementation is not defined. It's that the implementation of the automatic flag is not defined.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep. Okay. Okay, JSON-LD process must implement the compaction API. The algorithm for compaction optimization is not defined.
Yes, exactly.
There is an optimized flag that can be set to true or false to enable compaction optimization. So plus one, minus one, that proposal. And Nicholas and Wayne.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any alternative proposal that either one of you would prefer?
I think that what Greg said, or actually it's what I think Greg said when I typed it, that the important thing is that compactation using a provided context, that's the key. And that
right.
automatic compactation is up to anybody to determine what that is. That it's
right.
basically generating the best context possible.
That's what the proposal is about.
The wording maybe doesn't make that clear.
Okay.
It just says the algorithm for compaction. Oh, if for compaction optimization is not defined. No, I think that's
right.
That's clear. Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that it doesn't reference the existing behavior means that it doesn't change the existing definition.
Right. Okay. And Lane, do you have any reason for the plus zero?
I just think it's kind of weird having defining this as not defined. I don't know. It just seems like in a spec you should be more specific about what happens, but maybe this is a case where it doesn't matter.
The danger if we spec it out is that we are going to spec out something that's not actually optimized over time. Someone will figure out some really awesome way of optimizing it, and they will be prevented from implementing it because of what we've spec'd out.
Right. I'm just concerned that the use case of this is that you try to access that data, and if the format changes due to the different compaction algorithms that are being used, then it may be difficult to actually use the data that comes out.
Well, then
you
frame the data.
Right.
Why does compaction exist then?
If the C language committee had specified how the optimize flag works for compilers, then the state of programming would not be where it is. It has to be up to the ability of the implementers to be able to do their best effort at optimizing the output. And in the case of a JSON document for automatic compaction, that would be making it as compact as possible. So the metric might be, you know, are there, you know, with the byte count of the resulting file.
I understand, but it seems like people may be depending on certain behaviors. Like for a compiler, you know, all you need is the output to actually execute. So, and that means you're defining that based on the architecture that you're porting it to. But in this case, you may be actually trying to, you know, look at the data.
Then you set it to false, and then you get that expected behavior.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I think that Lane definitely has a point. I mean, I think his point is that look, people may not know anything about this, and they're going to end up hard coding or just coding to what a particular processor spits out. So to give an example of how this could happen, you know, it used to be that the way that JSON objects organized their keys was not deterministic, right? But today, the browser implementers have found that they too basically order the JSON keys so that when you're iterating through them, you iterate in the same order, because a lot of programmers just thought that they were ordered in a certain way, like alphabetically, right? Because some of the browser implementers did it that way. So, or rather that there was an order that there was a specific order. So that's kind of an example, I think, that shows, you know, Lane's concern. But I think that in this case, we have multiple ways to get around that, right? Or our answer to that is, look, it's the whole reason optimization exists is so that people can create the most compact documents, and we should not get in the way of people figuring out new great ways of optimizing JSON-LD documents. Okay. Well, in any case, I think that we don't have anyone standing in the way of this proposal, so let's go ahead and resolve it and move on, and maybe someone from the mailing list will tell us why we're wrong. Okay. So we have 10 minutes left. Let me try and pick something that's fairly simple. this may not be fairly simple. Okay, so subject and RI redundant. Does anyone have... this may not be
I
that.
I think the mime type parameter is simpler.
Yeah, okay, let's do that then. Okay, so issue 14, remove mime type parameter. Let me get the link for it. So we used to have this, or we proposed that you could say that a specific document was a framed document. And we did that kind of for completeness in the beginning, but I think that not many people are defending this mime type parameter to say that a JSON-LD document is a framed document. Now, note that this is different, I think, from saying that the thing is a JSON-LD frame. You're saying that this JSON-LD document was framed. It's the output of the framing algorithm. The only use case we had for it was in the test suite, and really we don't need it to implement the test suite. So I guess the proposal is just to remove the mime type parameter for framed, because we don't have a use case for it. Thoughts on this one?
No, I completely agree. It also doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell anything about the document.
Right. Okay, so the proposal is to remove the mime type parameter for form equals frame from the spec. Lane, plus 0, plus 1, minus 1.
I always have to decide, huh?
Yes. All right, so that is resolved. Oh, that only took us 2 minutes. Let's try another one.
I don't think we can resolve base and vocab, but I think it's worth discussing.
Well, we do have another one on here, which I think might be easy, and that's whether or not we're going to combine subject and IRI, and I think most people are averse to doing that. So I think we can resolve that pretty quickly. Any disagreement?
I would like to combine them.
Well, never mind. That's not going to be as fast.
Well, I think we might. I can see the value in having subject as syntactic sugar, and that might be done by saying, say, in the default context, that subject's defined as an alias.
Right. I don't know if we should even make it syntactic sugar, because the IRI is really used to express something that is just an IRI. There's nothing more to it. It's just, you know, it's a URL or an IRI to something. Whereas subject is doing something different. At least, from a processor's standpoint, it's not very different, but from an implementer or an author's standpoint, I think they're very different. Subject is basically saying what you're talking about, whereas IRI is really meant to just express that something's an IRI. So conceptually, there's a difference, at least in my mind, there's this difference that we should keep. Now, it could be that view is skewed because of the understanding of RDF and how this stuff is actually, turned into triples. And authors may not care about that. But I'm concerned that, you know, at some point the authors may trip across the triples, and having IRI both express something that's just an IRI as well as expressing the subject may be confusing to people. And the other issue is that the algorithms are a bit more difficult to implement when you have IRI, because when you have IRI in an object, then all of a sudden you don't know whether that's actually a literal or something else. You have to scan the other items in the object to figure out whether it's a literal or whether it's actually a set of triples. It's like an object with a set of properties. So I just I think it's important to keep the differentiation between the two. Okay, so I think we're not going to be able to get to the list. We're not going to be able to discuss this until I saw two of the people. Yeah, I mean, maybe we can discuss a little bit of this on the telecon. Marcus, did you have thoughts on this particular one?
Yeah, I think, I mean, like, IRI is not just to specify an IRI, but we also use it as a data type. So IRI is kind of a special case.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's really that clear for an author then if we merge them, that IRI is telling about the subject. It's used for setting a value to an IRI, and it's also used in coercion for the data type.
Right. Right. Hmm.
Maybe we should just discuss that the next telecon, I reckon.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and end the telecon then. Well, thanks for the call, and we'll chat again next week. All right.
Okay.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Thank you, too. Yeah.